Okay, it's become one of the highlights of our summer here in Camp Cayley. Probably the highlight of our summer when we get to welcome the Rosh Yeshiva, when Rav Sacks comes to give shiurim, first to the Masmidim and then does Hashem to the counselors. Masmidim are invited, of course, to the counselor shiur as well. Rav Sacks doesn't really need an introduction. You all know him as a very prominent Rosh Yeshiva, as an unbelievable Talmud Chacham and Mechaber of many, many Svarim. I would say a number, but it's probably changed. I haven't seen him in a couple of weeks, so some has changed by two or three since then. But the each and every summer when we get to welcome Rav Sacks, it's just a tremendous kavod for us, and we get to see a little bit of an image of what Godless B'Torah looks like, and be able to try to have something to aspire to. And I can just tell you that as much as Rav Sacks is impressive when you hear him here and there, when you see him every single day, he doesn't become less impressive, he becomes even more impressive. And it's just a great kavod for us to ask Rav Sacks to deliver a shiur this morning.
Great. Okay. Okay, don't move. <laughs> Okay. Thank you very much, Rav Leibowitz. It's a pleasure, really, to be here, to come and to see that you spend a significant part of the summer. You know, Seik B'Torah with such wonderful Rebbeim that surround you. It's something that I find very, very inspirational. You know, it's one thing for Rebbeim to do this, but to have Talmidim your age that are learning Bahasmad Atzuma, it's something which is incredibly meaningful. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you that Siyata Deshmaya to continue to grow, to appreciate all the opportunities that you have, and to be able to develop into outstanding B'nai Torah. Many, many themes that one finds in Parshas Pinchas. Let me just start with, toward the end of the Parsha, of course, the Parshas HaKarbanos. Although the Karbanos HaRegel are mentioned at the conclusion of Parshas Pinchas. And when it comes to Karbanos, when it comes to Beis HaMikdash, I often begin with a fundamental machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos. How is it that you count all of these chiyuvim in terms of the mitzvah HaTorah? We know the Gemara tells us, the drush of Rabbi Simlai, the Taryag mitzvos, Nemru the Moshe Misinai. But of course, we know that there are 613 mitzvos. When you look in the Ramban, the very beginning of Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban raises a very basic suffix, and that is, how did Rabbi Simlai know that this is true, that there are Taryag mitzvos? Was this the starting gate, or was this the finish line? The starting gate means that there was a Hilchasa, Halacha Moshe Misinai, of Taryag mitzvos, and now, significant work. Work through and try to figure out what they are. Or maybe it's quite the opposite, that Rabbi Simlai learned through every Sugyas HaShas, Kol HaTorah Kula, and at the very end of that endeavor, he counted up, and now, lo and behold, there are Taryag mitzvos. The Ramban writes as a corollary that if this was Hilchasa, everyone should agree to this. If this is something, an observation of Rabbi Simlai, so in such a case, maybe one could argue not everyone agrees. You know, the Ramban is bothered, the Tosas and Sota and Daf Gimel, when you go through many, many sugyas, there's so many cases that there's a machlokes of whether something is a mitzvah, whether something is a rishus. That very daf in the beginning of Sota has three cases, a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Tosas is immediately bothered. If Rabbi Akiva has three mitzvahs and Rabbi Yishmael writes they're only rishus, so how is it that Rabbi Yishmael comes to Taryag mitzvahs? Because Tosas assumes everyone has to agree that Taryag mitzvahs nam rosh misinai. And Tosas answers, but he doesn't really fill us in on the secret, there must be three other mitzvahs that Rabbi Yishmael has that Rabbi Akiva denies, because at the end of the day, everyone has to agree that there are Taryag mitzvahs. So given this assumption, indeed, Taryag mitzvahs, and how to work through and to count all of the chiyuvim of the Torah, all of the mitzvos of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash and Karbanos served as a significant challenge. But how is it that you add them up? If you're going to count everything separately, every aspect of Avodah, all of the Kelim independently, you're going to far exceed the cap of Taryag mitzvos, Nemer Moshe Misinai. So the Rambam makes this somewhat simple for us. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos in Mitzvah Chav, the Rambam writes there's one mitzvah, Vosli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, build, construct a Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash, and everything that is necessary for Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash, all of that is part of this one mitzvah, Avosli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. So it doesn't only include building the structure of, but all of the Kalim. All of that is part of Avosli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. So if you were to ask the Rambam, should I count making a Mizbeach, or making the Kiyor, or making a Shulchan independently, the Rambam writes, absolutely not. Furnishing the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash, all of that is part of Avosli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam is not there. The Ramban is a little bit later in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, because that's where the Ramban discusses another difficulty he finds with the Rambam, and that is Big Dei Kahuna. Obviously, when the Kohen performs Avoda, it's necessary that he wears Big Dei Kahuna. Is there a mitzvah of Levishas Big Dei Kahuna? The Rambam writes yes. That in addition to a mitzvah Savoda, there's a mitzvah of Levishas Big Dei Kahuna. And the Ramban disagrees. First, the Ramban writes that, is it really a separate mitzvah of the Vishas Big Dei Kahuna? Isn't it just simply a Hechsher mitzvah, a Hechsher Avoda? In order to perform Avoda, one of the prerequisites is you have to don the Big Dei Kahuna. Indeed, the Ramban writes, Bizman Shebigdein Aleihem, Kahunasan Aleihem, that a Kohen is not fit to do Avoda without the Big Dei Kahuna. So if that is a necessary precondition, I'm not going to count that as a mitzvah. That's going to be a hechsher mitzvah. A hechsher mitzvah. And the Ramban goes on to ask, and if you tell me it's a separate mitzvah, why is it only one mitzvah? Why isn't it three different mitzvahs? A mitzvah of Kohen Hedyot, and two mitzvahs for Kohen Gadol, and Yom Kippur, and Shar Yemos Hashanah. But the Ramban writes, there's one mitzvah. One mitzvah of Levishas Big Dei Kahuna. And the Ramban disagrees and writes, it's not the mitzvah, should not be counted. It is only a Hechsher mitzvah. And the Ramban writes, you don't count a Hechsher mitzvah independently in Minyan HaMitzvos. And the Ramban writes, and that, he thinks, is another approach to that earlier Rambam. You know why the Ramban writes, I'm not going to count making a Mizbeach or making the Shulchan or making the Kiyor as a separate mitzvah? The Ramban writes, not because it's all part of Osli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, but rather, if I were to ask you that, why do you have to have a Mizbeach? Isn't the answer for Hakravas HaKrabanos? And why do you have to have a Kiyur? Isn't the answer for Kiddush Adayim for Aglayim? And why do you have to have a Shulchan? For the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim. In other words, fashioning the particular kli is not a separate mitzvah, it's simply a Hechsher mitzvah. What is true of Big Dei Kahuna, the Ramban writes, is true of making all of the kelim of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, not to be separate mitzvahs, but rather it is considered to be a hechsher mitzvah. So both the Rambam and the Ramban agree, I'm not going to count everyone independently, but for very, very different reasons. According to the Rambam, it's because it's all part of Osli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. And according to the view of the Ramban, no, that's not true. It is considered to be a Hechsher Avoda, like the Ramban assumes when it comes to Big Dei Kahuna. You know, perhaps this machlokas fits in very beautifully with another issue. If I were to ask you, how is it that you would define Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash? What is the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash supposed to be? So, when you look in the Rambam, they give very different answers, different approaches to what a Beis HaMikdash is supposed to represent. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvah Chav, the term we have in the Rambam, albeit a translation, is a Beis Avoda. It's a Beis Avoda. It's a place of Avodas Hashem. The Rambam writes, Nyan HaChazaka, Makom Shema Krivim, Bo Karbanos. What is so special about the Beis HaMikdash? It's a place in order to perform Avodah Hashem. When you look in the Ramban, the very beginning of Parshas Truma, here the Ramban writes something very different. We were zochet to experience Mamad Har Sinai, incredible Hashras Hashina, and the Torah gave us an unbelievable privilege to capture, to preserve the Hashras Hashina of Mamad Har Sinai Ledoros. Where do you see that preservation of Hashras Hashina? The Ramban writes, that is the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash. And the Ramban writes, when you look throughout the Torah, you will find that the Torah describes Har Sinai the very same way the Torah describes the Mishkan, because it's one halacha. The Hashras Hashchin of Mamad Har Sinai, that can be found in Vosli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Selchon. The Ramban doesn't focus on Avoda. The Ramban focuses on the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash as being a Beis HaShchina, a Beis HaShchina. The Ramban Beis Avoda, the Ramban Beis HaShchina. If you'll ask me what is the mission statement of every yeshiva and every shul, it's the shiluv of the Rambam and the Ramban. To be a Beis Avoda and to be a Beis HaShchina. That's what we're striving for. A place of Avodas Hashem, but a place that you can feel in a palpable way the Hashras HaShchina. This lachor is l'shitase. You know, if the Rambam writes that the essence of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash is a Beis Avoda, isn't it very reasonable that all the clay Avoda, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, the Kiyur, all that should be part of Bas LaMikdash V'Shachanti B'Selchon? The clay Avoda are part of the Beis Avoda. Why would you think that should be two separate mitzvahs? But according to the Ramban, that Mishkan Beis HaMikdash is a Beis HaShchina. Can't you envision a Beis HaShchina without the Kiyur? Can't you envision a Beis HaShchina without the Shulchan? And therefore, the Ramban argues that I'm not going to count all those Kalim as part of Osli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Selchon. Because you can build a Mishkan with the Hashras HaShchina, even without a menorah, even without the kiyur, even without the shulchan, and therefore the Ramban's going to disagree with this Ramban. So now the Ramban has to answer, so why don't I count them? The answer is not because it's all included in, but rather, no, a different reason. The purpose of the kiyur is a hekshem, it's before kiddush adayim v'raglayim. The purpose of the siyas shulchan is a hekshem, it's before the mitzvah of lechem apanim. So the reason the Ramban gives in Sefer Mitzvahs, in Lamed Gimel, fits in so beautifully with the Ramban's depiction of what the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash is supposed to represent in the very beginning of Parshas Truma. And then the Ramban gets stuck. The Ramban writes that, look, if the only reason I'm not counting all of these things separately is because it is a Hechsher Mitzvah Avoda, then the Ramban writes, what do you do with the Aron? With the Aron. All the other kalim, if I ask you why do you have to have a particular kli? Isn't the answer obvious? The kli is defined in terms of a specific avoda. If I'm going to ask you why is it that you need the aron, what is the role of the aron, the answer can't be avoda. That there's no avodas ha'aron, avodas ha'aron. Even in Bayesheni, when the aron was not present in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but you know what, the avoda continue. There's no specific avodas ha'aron. Interesting question you can think about. This is a dion in the Mikdash David, that the Gemara says that mikan velech avodasa mechanchasa, that in the future generations, whenever they would have to be mechanech, the mekadesh akli, the avoda would initiate, that it would inaugurate that kiddush. So Mikdash David is bothered. How does that manifest itself when it comes to the aron? If at any point it's necessary, you're Rambanim and Chaschinot to have a new aron, how do you simply inaugurate that aron? That how is it that you infuse the avodasa mechanchasa? There is no avodasa aron. How exactly is that done? Because the aron is not considered to be part of Klei Avoda. Maybe one could suggest a thing for a separate shir. Maybe the Simas HaLuchos. Maybe placing the Luchos in the Aron is called Avodas HaMachanchasa, because that's the role of the Aron. But admittedly, as the Ramban writes, Aron is not considered to be one of the Kalim of Avoda. So the only reason I'm not counting all the Kalim separately is because a Hechsher Avoda, how can that be said when it comes to the Aron? And you know what the Ramban answers? You're right. You're absolutely right. The Asu Aron is a separate mitzvah. It's a separate mitzvah. I'm not going to count all the other kelim, because that's a Hechsher Avoda. But crafting, fashioning an aron, that the Ramban has as a separate mitzvah in Minyan mitzvah. Ooh, all of that is the Chiddush of the Ramban. Aron must be a separate mitzvah because you can't really term that as Klei Avoda, and therefore one I'm going to count. So the Ramban is going to have to level out his Taryag mitzvahs because he has an additional mitzvah that the Ramban does not have, and that is Va'osu Aron. So Ramban writes, there's something unusual about the Aron. Fashioning the Aron is a separate mitzvah. It's not just simply a Hechsher mitzvah. That's the Shita of the Ramban. There's a beautiful Ramban that you find in Parshas Truma that writes there's another unique feature when it comes to the Aron. Not only is it a separate mitzvah, but the Ramban writes the following. You know, very often, the Torah instructs us to perform a mitzvah in the plural, sometimes in the singular. And very often, Chazal highlight a significant difference between a mitzvah b'loshon rabim as opposed to a mitzvah which is b'loshon yachid. If a mitzvah is b'loshon rabim, so then the mitzvah is to the rabim. It's l'chol echad v'echad. Everyone has to participate. The Gemara has, for example, Masechta Sukkah, that v'osu, when it comes to the mitzvah of dalet minim, the Torah tells us l'kachta machem. The Gemara's Dorish, the Ticha V'yad Kol Echa V'yecha. Everyone has to do some. It also says, Miditzir, U'lakachtem, V'lokzi V'lokachta. The Gemara Menachos, Dav Samachay, Sfir Zomer, U'svartem Lachem. What does that mean? Sfir Lachal Echa V'yecha. Everyone is obligated to count. Tosos points out that, what about when it comes to counting the years of the Ovel and Parshas Bahar? There the Torah doesn't tell us, U'svartem, V'safarta Licha. You count. So what exactly does that mean? Not everyone has to count. Tosos writes a Chiddush. The Sanhedrin counts. Because the Sanhedrin represents all of Knesset Yisrael. And therefore, the Tzibur counts. In what sense? The representative of the Tzibur. So Tosos writes a Chiddush. And that's Sugim. And Achos Samachay. And Subas. And the fine day is that the Sanhedrin convenes every year. They count the year of the Yovel with the Bracha. That's Tosos Hashit. Against the Rambam. They count the year of the Ovel with the bracha, because that's v'safarta lecha, as opposed to svarta lecha means everyone is obligated to do so. So b'loshon rabbi means everyone is obligated, and something which is in the singular means it's a collective chiyuv, the single unit of Klal Yisrael. The Gaon writes, it sounds ironic, but this is pshat, the Gaon writes, if something is b'loshon rabbi, it's a chovas hayachid. And if something is b'loshon yachid, it's a chovas hatzibur, a chovas harabim. Now, sounds a little unusual, but that's it. If something is b'loshon yachid, it means the unit of Knesset Yisrael as a whole. So the tzibur fulfills it as a single unit. That's like counting the years of the Ovel. If something is b'loshon rabim, it means each and every individual. We call that a chovas hayachid. So therefore, that's exactly what the Gaon writes, that b'loshon rabim indicates a chovas yachid, and Lashon Yachid indicates a Chovas HaRabim. What about when it comes to Kelim? So if I were to ask you, the need to have all the Kelim Mishkan Beis HaMikdash, the need to have a Kira, the need to have the Shulchan, the need to have the Mizbeach, is that something that everyone is obligated to do? Or is that something that the Tzibur of a whole is obligated to do? So I would have told you, everyone's obligated. Everyone's obligated to build the Mizbeach. The tzibur as a whole is obligated to see to it that you have a mizbeach. Ooh, so that's exactly what the Ramban writes. That's why the Torah tells us the asisa in the singular. Klal Yisrael as a single unit, as a whole, is obligated to see to it that. What about when it comes to the aron? So here the Ramban writes, the meaning of Parshas Truma. Here the Torah tells us v'asu aron. B'loshon Rabbim. Not only is it a separate mitzvah, but it's B'loshon Rabbim. What does that mean? The Ramban writes, Yavo Kulon. Everyone is obligated to do so. Everyone had to participate in the Aron. That was not true of any other of the Kelim of Mishkan Beis HaMikdash. But everyone had to participate in the Asiyas HaAron. V'asu Aron. V'asu Aron. Yavo Kulon. How exactly is that done? The Ramban writes a few possibilities. Number one, the Ramban writes, Yazer B'Sal Ezer Ma'at. Maybe some people helped
fashion the Aron. Mm-hmm. The Ramban writes sheyisnadvu. They're those who contributed to the Aron. They didn't hands-on create, but they contributed to. And then the Ramban writes the last chiddush, the biggest chiddush, sheyichavnu ledavar. Yichavnu, kavona salev. It's a mindset, a consciousness. It's an existence that I have a chelek in the Torah Hashem. It's a mindset of asara. That already yichavnu ledavar. That's considered to be an asina. That's considered to be a form of asara. That's pretty amazing. I'll tell you, that's the hardest one. No, the hardest one. Sometimes it's easy to craft. It's really easy to donate. No, but the kavana salei, that this is my aron, vaso aron, that's something that's pretty remarkable. And that, the Ramban writes, everyone had to do. Yavo kulam.
V'yasku ba'aron. Kedei shiyizku kul natora. The Ramban writes that that's absolutely clear. So aron is unique in the following sense. It's a separate mitzvah, according to Ramban, number one. Number two, it's a mitzvah which is mutelis al kol echad b'echad.
It's not just a chovas hatzibur, but rather everyone is obligated to participate. And perhaps one now could suggest the following. Maybe when it comes to the Aron, there are two different dinim, there are two different halachos, two different elements of the Aron. If I were to ask you, right, what is the purpose, the importance of the Aron? So I would tell you certainly that Aron plays a central role in Mishkan and Beis Hamikdash. That's clear, even if it's not Klei Avodah, but its presence, that informs. That's something which is absolutely critical. But is that the only role of the Aron? The entire significance of the Aron is Mishkan and Beis Hamikdash. See here, that can't be the complete answer. You know, when you jump a little bit ahead in Parshas Ekev, the Torah describes that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu has the Luchos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to construct an Aron, to build an Aron. That chiyuv that Moshe Rabbeinu had of Asiyas Aron had nothing at all to do with Mishkan, had nothing at all to do with Beis HaMikdash, but rather you need something to house the Luchos. You're zolche to have the Luchos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to house, you have to engage in Shmiras HaLuchos. Isn't that part of the purpose of the Aron? Even if there never would have been a mitzvah of Mishkan Beis HaMikdash, but there would have been a chiv of having an Aron. And that's clear from the Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Ekev. So perhaps the Aron has a dual purpose, Number one, the Aron is critical in terms of Shmiras HaLuchos. Number two, the Aron is essential in terms of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. And maybe that's why you'll find different parshios. Parshas Truma, where the theme is Mishkan and Mikdash. And Parshas Ekev, where the theme is the Luchos of Mamad Har Sinai. Because they're two parshios, they're two dinim. When it comes to, right, the Aron itself. And that's why the Torah divides, not only in the context of Mishkan Beis HaMikdash, but even when it comes to Shmiras HaLuchos itself. Maybe one could go a step further, you know, and argue as follows, that the Aron is made up of two different materials. It's made up of Atzei Shittim of wood, and it's made up also of Zahav. What are the two materials of the Aron supposed to represent? You know, now that you see that there are two dinim, two elements, two aspects, two parshios of the Aron, and there are two materials of the Aron, you know, maybe it's not so surprising that that alludes to these two functions. In what sense? When I think about the Zahav of the Aron, that I would tell you is reminiscent of the Kavod, the Tiferes, the beauty, the splendor of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. There are other Kelim as well that had Zahav. That's the magnificence of. What exactly is the role of the Eitz of the Aron? Maybe one could suggest that already is not referring to the role of the Aron in Mishkan Beis HaMikdash, but that's referring to the role of the Aron aside from Mishkan Beis HaMikdash, without the Zohar. Just simply the role of the Eitz. Why do I say that's true? Because when you look in Parshas Ekev,
and Moshe Rabbeinu was told that, look, you have the Luchos, you have to house the Luchos, you have to build an Aron. What was that Aron made out of? The Torah tells us that was an Aron Eitz. There was no Zav at all. That was made out of Eitz. And therefore, maybe that's the Chiddush, that the initial Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu, made out of Eitz. But now, Vosle Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Sochem, this is to be incorporated within, and therefore that's indicated by the overlay of Zahav. So maybe to Parshios of Aron, to Dinim of Aron, to materials of Aron. Now I'll ask you the following question. In terms of Yachin and Rabin, if there are two Dinim of the Aron, which would you say is something that everyone is obligated to do? And which would you say is a deal which is incumbent upon the entire tzibur? So maybe the answer is exactly that point. That the role of the Aron in terms of preservation of the Torah, shmiras haluchos, that everyone has to participate in. Everyone's obligated to this. The kiyum of the Aron in terms of Beis HaMikdash, maybe that's like all the other kelim of the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash, which is a feat incumbent upon the tzibur. So maybe that also would split to Parshios of Aron, to Dinim of Aron, to aspects of Aron, to materials of Aron. Maybe now that the Shmiras Haluchos is L'chol Echad Yechad, and the role of Aron in terms of Mikdash and Mishkan, maybe that's a chiyuv coming upon the tzibur, is all the day of Mishkan in Beis HaMikdash. You know, when you look back in the pasuk in Parshas Truma, something like unbelievably amazing. The Torah tells us, "Va'asu Aron." You have to construct an Aron. The Ramban writes, "Va'asu means kol echad v'yachad." Everyone. Va'asu. The Torah says again now, "Va'asu Aron." Atzishitu. Make an Aron out of Eitz. Eitz is only part of it. No. Va'asu Aron Atzishitu. Yeah, of course. Then that's supposed to continue. But don't forget, you have to overlay it with gold. Right? Va'asu Aron Atzishitim. And then Bitsipisa of Sozah, but overlay it with gold. That's like unbelievable, no? Va'asu and Bitsipisa. Va'asu is Bloshin Rab. Bitsipisa is Bloshin Yach. Like, why in the world? No? Bachar, that's the answer. Va'asu Aron Atzishitim is Lakalecha Viecha. That's the Aron Eitz of Moshe. And now, of course, you have to incorporate into the Mikdash Hashem, but that's the Tzipisa, that's the Chovas Hayach. And that's the uniqueness of the Aron, the Tudinim, the element of Va'asu, and that of Tzipisa. And perhaps that explains the elements of the Aron, the Dinim, the Parshios, the uniqueness of the Aron. And that is the Ramban writes is Yavol Kulam. That is a Chiyuv al Kol Echad V'Echad that everyone is obligated to participate in. You know, when the Torah presents the many, many Korbanos, and Parshas Pinchas, of course, Nechamishi, the Torah begins with the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid is obviously Tadir. Right, that is something which, yeah, day in and day out, that's clear. You know, that's the Tchilas HaAvodah. The Mishnah says, Manachos, when you are Mechanech, the Mizbeach, you do so with the Korban Tamid. I understand why the Korban Tamid is first. But I'll tell you, there's something unusual about this mitzvah of Korban Tamid. When you look in the Ein Yaakov, right, Ein Yaakov has several introductions. Now, so, the Hakdamas HaKosei to Ein Yaakov quotes a Medrash that writes the following, that what exactly is the Klal Gadol B'Torah? What is the Klal Gadol B'Torah? So many mitzvahs, Tariyat mitzvahs, the kind of, you want to extrapolate, the Klal Gadol. What would that be? So, the Midrash quotes three different tales. The first is Ben Zoma, It says it's Kriyashma, Shema Yisrael. That's Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. If I would ask you like to pick something that represents, you probably would have chosen among the list Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim, Kriyashma. That's clear. And then the Midrash continues and quotes the second Shita, and that's Benanas, that writes, V'yahavta l'reyecha kamocha. Oh, that's reminiscent to Rabbi Kiva Yerushalmi. You know, that's the Klal Gadol b'Torah. You know, those two I kind of get. Now I understand that Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim, V'yahavta l'reyecha kamocha, that I see. What's surprising is the last day, and the Midrash concludes, unusual, V'halacha kamosa. It's an unusual phrase in Midrash. No? We pass them like Shimon ben Bazi, that says, Esekeve sechata sababu. Carbon tumble. That is the Klal Gadol b'Torah. The Klal Gadol b'Torah. Three different days that one finds in the Midrash. No, perhaps the Mishnah of Shimon HaTzadik, of the Amud Dei HaOlam, of Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim. That corresponds to this Midrash. That after all, that Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim seems to be the three possibilities of what in essence is considered to be the Klal Gadol b'Torah. But in what sense does one argue that Karbon Tamid is really the Klal Gadol b'Torah? So I think the answer is a resounding yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is, if you were to ask me, what is the Klal Gadol of the Torah of Hashem? Isn't it exactly that point? The day in and day out consistent Avodah Hashem. That is the Klal Gadol. It's not the moments of heroism, moments of Mesiras Nefesh, no doubt, a mitzvah rabba, but the Klal Gadol, in terms of Avodas Hashem, is the day in, day out avodah. That's the Karbon Tamid. That's the Karbon Tamid. As the Rambam describes in Perakei Tochus Yisodei HaTorah, Kiddush Hashem, you know, there are windows where a person can be called upon to make Kaddish Shem Shemayim. But as the Rambam continues, the real Kiddush Hashem is the day in and day out, the day in and day out routine. That is the Klal Gadol b'Torah, the day in and day out. Now, how early do you come to davening every Tefillah? Now, how early? Now, that's the Klal Gadol b'Torah. The Kavana Salev of every Tefillah, the Yechavn L'davening, the primacy of the Torah Hashem. It's the day in and day out. Hasmada, avoda, that's going to set you apart. That is their key to success in every aspect of life. And it's not that, you know, at a certain moment I was inspired and therefore it's the aftermath. It's exactly that point. It's a keves achata sabokia. That's malacha kamosa. That's Shimon ben Pazi. But that must be the Klal Gadol b'Torah. And the Torah tells you the multiple karbanos that one is obligated to bring. And then the Torah tells us, the very end of Parshas Pinchas, realize, Eilu tasal Hashem amu'adeichem, realize, these are the typical karbanos, beginning with Karban Tamid and embracing other karbanos aragel, levad v'nidreichem v'nibelseichem. But don't forget nidarim v'nidavos. Don't forget to offer a karban nidavim. Not only the Karban Chova, but also the Karban Nidah. That's something which is unusual. The fact that the Torah has such parshios of Nidavah, that which is not obligatory, that which is not mandated, but that which is discretionary. There's a beautiful comment of the Stifler. The very beginning of Chumash Vayikra, Birchas Peretz. Why does the Torah contain Divrei Rishus? Why does the Torah contain Divrei Rishus? You know, there are karbanos, it's a karban chov, I understand, I must. But there are karbanos where it's really up to you. There are parshios like the parsha of Nazir and the like, it's really up to you. There are mitzvos, like truma, b'chita achas poteres esakri, a single grain. How much? Up to you. Why does the Torah contain discretionary parshas? Or maybe one could raise the question in the following sense. If these things are really important, let the Torah say that you must.
And if they're not so important, like, why exactly are they included in the Torah session? That if it's going to be included, let the Torah demand. And if not, why include? Why do you have to have mili derishos? So Stipler writes something I will tell you sounds simple but very profound. The Torah wants to give us the tools, the ability to develop, to inculcate the real sense of Avas Hashem. And in life, if a person only does that which he must, no more, no less, a person is only going to do that which is demanded of him, but nothing more, it's going to be incredibly difficult to develop a real sense of Avas Hashem. The Midas Ahava, by definition, means going above and beyond. Above and beyond what is demanded of you. You know, you can be in an environment where there's a rule for everything. The yeshiva has a rule for every aspect. No? And they're going to come down really hard on you if somehow you don't. You know, a bystander can walk in. Looks like everything is great. Looks like everything is like falling into place. Every move is coordinated. No, it's choreographed. But you know what? You turn to the Talmid, a real sense of Avas Hashem. If the only motivation is going to be, well, I must, schar, onesh, how can that be? The Torah has to give you opportunities. Opportunities above and beyond. And that's the beauty, that's the uniqueness of mili derishos. You know what? You see, a person is not only offering a karban chova, because he was a chote, I understand. He's offering a karban adava. I kind of turn to him and say, you know, I understand why you're bringing a chatas and ashram. Why are you bringing an olas nadava? You know, his answer is going to be, is because mikdash, karbanos, that's not just a demand, that's an opportunity. Right? That's something that I treasure, that's something that I revere, that yavo kula, that everyone is obligated to. And it's an opportunity. Mikar hadin, the shakra, semincha, the tefillah schor, but arvis is a rishus. Because tefillah is not only a chov, it's not only a mitzvah sa tefillah, but a schus, a privilege of tefillah. And that's going to be manifest in an opportunity to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, avula avdo b'chol avavchi. A person is giving truma, but above him, yan chitachas, isn't the answer, because he values, he reveres the role of the kohen in avodas hamikdash. Not just simply, I have no choice because it's Mr. Teva, and I can't partake selfishly myself unless I'm mafresh. That's not the motivation of, and that's indicated by that aspect of mili derishos. I'll tell you an amazing example of what I think is hisnadlus, above and beyond, the relationship of a Rebbe and a Talmid. You know, here, Parshas Pinchas, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to appoint Yeshua. And the Torah tells us, "Samachnes yadcha olav." Physically, that means that take your hand and you place it. You place it on Yeshua. That's who the Shabbos is parak in the Avos. Now, Masara the Yeshua. The Rambam writes, Moshe Rabbeinu had many, many, many talmidim. But the Mesira Sator was Yeshua. How was that done? It wasn't done from a distance. It was a relationship. B'samachdes yorcha alav. To reach out, to touch the Talmud. And all of a sudden, the Torah describes, in Parshas Pinchas, V'yismach es yadav alav. Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, yadcha. And the response of Moshe Rabbeinu was yadav. One hand, as opposed to two hands. Now that's something I think that is pretty important, no? Isn't there a difference between a single hand as opposed to two hands? You know, with one hand you can greet, you can reach out to a Talmud. But with two hands, you embrace the Talmud. You're embracing a Talmud. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's response. He was told to reach out to, and the response was to embrace. That, I will tell you, is the ultimate Midas Saint Snuggles. Was that the Tzibri? No. The Tzibri was Yadcha, not Yodecha, Yadcha. But the natural response was Yadav, Yadav, to reach out and to embrace. And here I would ask the same kasha, the stipler. If this is so important, and this is so obvious, that you have to embrace the Talmud, not just simply greet the Talmud, not just simply reach out to the Talmud, but to embrace. So, why was the Tzibri the Samachtes Yodchal? Why couldn't the Torah have had it? A single Yod, the Samachtes Yodchal? No? Why Yodchal? Yodchal? And isn't that exactly the answer? Imagine you see a Rebbe embracing a Talmud. And you're kind of inspired by that scene. And you turn to the Rebbe and say that, what motivated you to do that? And imagine the response of the Rebbe is, because I was commanded to do this. I have no choice. No? I was the tzibur. Schar onesh. I was commanded to do this. That can't be. You don't embrace because you're commanded to do so. You do so because of a certain love, a passion for the Talmud. And that has to be hisnadvus. That has to be discretionary. And after the Torah tells us that Moshe ben Yitzchak v'samach es yod chalav and v'yismach es yodav alav, all of a sudden the Torah says that Moshe ben did exactly that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended that he should do. Rashi writes, Kasha Dibra Hashem means v'samach es hodcha. That was the intent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there should be the tzivui, but the response should be v'yismach es yodav. That's an opportunity that everyone has. Everyone has. You know, part as a ben Torah, as a ben yeshiva, is no doubt the commitment to the Shura Sadin. Obviously. No, the Tzibui Hashem. How can one be deficient in? Obviously, that's critical. But above and beyond, recognize the opportunities of Mili Derishus. I often measure the Talmud. Sometimes it's the Mili Derishus that speak volumes. You know, you're learning during the Zman. Of course you're learning during the Zman, no? But you're learning here during the summer. In a certain sense, no doubt. B'gisi Yavam V'alayla is all-encompassing. But without anyone necessarily looking over your shoulder, without anyone making such an overt demand, but you do so because, as the Ramban writes, V'asol Oro Yavukulam, that this is where your seer link is into the Torah Hashem. And I'll tell you, there's something amazing about the Torah Hashem that I often quote the Gemara Nidin Dafayin, that the Gemara tells us that if you work at it, you invest yourself, and you daven Takarish Baruch Hu for Siyata Dishmai, your Mishtadel, your Mispalo, you'll succeed. That's what the Gemara tells us. Without that, you will absolutely not succeed. If you think that you're going to gain the Chokhmah Hashem simply by learning, the Gemara says it's not going to happen. Of course you have to learn. But every Shmonesra, you have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for incredible Siyata Dishmaya. Because any thought or any source, anything that we have in the Torah Hashem, is not because we've earned it, but that's what the Gaon writes, for Chaim Volozhiner as well. Yagatu Motsosi means it's a mitzvah. It's something that we chanced upon because we positioned ourselves. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an unbelievable matana to be able to get a glimpse, a glimmer, into Chochmas Sabori. But you have to recognize what a privilege it is. You have to see that as an absolute gift. And not because we're deserving of it, but because the Tuva Bachasta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives us this incredible matana Torah. And Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you that sense of Siyata Dishmaya. You have to position yourself. You have to be the first ones in. You have to be the last ones out. You have to daven with a sense of incredible Kavanas Aleihem. You have to recognize that part of it's Sigur, of course, but when it comes to Aron, Vosaron, Yavokum, the Askabar, everyone has to immerse yourself. You have to invest in the Torah session.
If you do that, you're mishtadel. And you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with an incredible sense of passion, then Bezer Hashem would be zoked to amazing, amazing siyata d'shmaya. You have unbelievable opportunities before you. Take advantage of every opportunity. Chazer time and time and time again. Everything that you learn. Without chazara, it's not going to stick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create us that somehow, right, an easy in, easy out, that, you know, you learn something and all of a sudden it becomes part of you. It requires, right, endless chazar. And all of a sudden you see that, you know, you're living, you're breathing. That the Torah Hashem that you learn, right, connects in a way that you never thought was possible. Bezer Hashem, you should be zelchah to that intense siyata d'shmaya through your learning, through your davening, through both elements of what the Aron and Avoda represent. Thank you.